Sunshine and 75.
Yeah, we can see we have two tall windows here, so we can see that we're facing north, right? That's the direction we're looking at.
Are we?
Yeah.
North?
Yes.
Really? I would think we're facing east. I'm all twisted up.
No, that's north that way. You see the sun's coming up from the other side over here.
Okay.
But we are in the Monroe House, part of the Oberlin Heritage Center, and with us, Executive Director Liz Schultz. Good morning. Thanks for hosting us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you for coming, and we're excited to have a live show out of the parlor here.
Yeah, so this is officially the parlor.
You have it right, yes.
So when Craig says, we're going to be in the parlor, I says, well, is there like a piano, any musical instrument? Now, is this officially a piano, or does it have a type of a...
Sometimes it's called a square piano or a pianoforte. So you can see, I heard you talking, it's got a few fewer octaves and keys, and it's also just the box on top. So you could actually lift this up and move it around for your parties in various rooms of the house.
So the legs below are just what supports it at this point.
Like mm-hmm.
Wow. Now also there on the wall, another one like a lute or some sort of, I joked a ukulele, that would be more modern for that. But this is sort of the parlor area, fireplace as well. I guess talk a little bit about the house that we are in.
Sure. So we call this the Monroe House. It was built in 1866. And this is the parlor. So if you were living back then, the parlor is often where you would invite your guests. You would kind of show off what you liked. So you might like music or art, or you saw the statuettes, so literature. And oftentimes this was maybe the only room people would see of your house. So maybe the only one you had to keep clean and nice.
Oh, I like this. These people were smart. Yeah. I like that. And I would assume the other part, you have kept the other parts of the house clean, though. If we were to snoop around, there's probably things there.
Unless... We do. We have a wonderful housekeeper who keeps it clean and ready for tour visitors.
Now, the furniture and things that are in here, how are they acquired? And do they represent, I guess, of that period or something close to it? What's the style for that?
They are of the time period. Some historic homes, like maybe presidential homes, they have photographs or maybe furniture passed down. They know exactly what it looked like in a moment. But the Monroe family was like many of our families, where they moved elsewhere later in life, retired elsewhere. So a lot of their things didn't come back to Oberlin. So what we have here are other things from the time from other Oberlin families that can help us tell the story of the time period. But also, even though we talk about the Monroes, we're also a community historical society. So this is just the launching point to talk about the family and then other stories that encompass the entire town.
Photographs, or I should say pictures hanging well, then represent other parts of what maybe your talks are about or stories to tell, kind of a starting point, as you said, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So in this room, we do talk about the family, but in the next room, we talk about the founding of Oberlin, and later on, we talk about Oberlin's abolitionist years. So we use other items from the time period and especially photographs to launch into those stories.
Yesterday, we posted on our Facebook page that we would be here today, and a former worker went on there and said, you know what? I used to live in that house. Is that possible?
It is possible. I'd be curious who it is.
Katie, by the way? Yes. Yes.
Katie Elkins.
Was she a student at the time?
She was just a kid. Her parents must have lived in this house.
Oh, wonderful.
Like
we're always keeping track. We look back at census records, so we can look back and see when
she's not that old, so this couldn't have been too... I mean, how long has this been part of the Oberlin Heritage Center, if you...
So we've owned it since about the 1960s. So there was a time when nobody lived here from about the 1950s until about the 80s. So I'm wondering if, but you said she wasn't a student, because I know we had student fellows living here too.
Okay, look at Craig. We have a new chapter.
Okay.
I was thinking about this the other day too, because she was an office mate of ours, talking, and occasionally she would mention something about it. And then you just like wonder, that's interesting, because, you know, houses... they go through different changes, and maybe it was rented out, or maybe they were staying here for some reason, but it was a story that she told. Though I suppose as somebody who follows history, you always have to figure out history, legend, fable, is a story that someone passed on, and what's the real truth behind some of that?
Yeah,
right?
Well, we would love to hear a story, because there are stories we haven't heard of the house and other houses in town. So I'd love to add her record to the whole history.
Right. In this area also, you have the Little Red Schoolhouse and the Jewett House. Talk about those as part of also with your walking tours and what you do here.
Yeah, so they're all part of the property here, and we go through the Monroe House and the Little Red Schoolhouse on our tours, and we hope to to bring back the Jewett House when we have more volunteers to do that again. So the schoolhouse is the oldest building in town. It was built in 1836, so we have it recreated to look like a schoolhouse of about the 1850s. So that's all hands-on. People can visit it as part of the tour here. And the Oberlin third graders come for an annual visit to the Little Red Schoolhouse. So here in the Monroe House, which is where we kind of start our tours, people get more of the introduction to Oberlin, the founding story, and some of the main, I guess, social history themes that carry through Oberlin's history. We talk about education in the schoolhouse. And in the Jewett House, when we can bring that back, we talk more about the Victorian period and how Charles Martin Hall invented the process for producing aluminum. We also have history walks that supplement that history. Sometimes in houses you get into locked into what you're seeing, but we have history walks about abolition, women's history, the Civil War, the architecture of town. So that's a great way to cover different time periods and different stories that people want to hear.
You also received a grant for the Wilson Bruce Evans House. Tell us about that.
Sure. So that is a new historical society that formed in town. The house, the Wilson Bruce Evans House, carried down through the Evans family. And they just recently in 2021 formed a historical society because the family realized this wasn't just their family history. This was really important local history. Wilson Bruce Evans and his brothers were, they were both black abolitionists. So they have a lot to tell about the American story of black families moving for better opportunities at that time and the challenges they faced over the years. So they wanted to tell that history. So the Heritage Center, the Evans Home Historical Society, is so new that the Heritage Center kind of stepped in as just a fiscal agent to help them facilitate this grant. So it's wonderful to have that support of the state, and we're hoping to replace the porch that is currently on the house with a porch that would have been more appropriate for the time period of when the family was early on living in the house.
I look at this house and where it's situated within the blocks of the area. You know, it's facing, it almost seems like it's in a little bit of an island. Was there a road at some point or a walkway, or how is the way this is sort of in the middle of the block as opposed to like on the end or on a street side?
Yeah, so if you even notice on our doorway, it says 73 and a half, which Google really does not like. It often takes people in different places, but the 73 and a half is because we're no longer on a road, but there used to be a road here called College Place. So this was one of several houses along that road, but then when the college was building the Conservatory of Music in 1960, they were clearing off that road to make more room, and this is the only house they saved from that effort, and they actually rolled it back about 100 yards to sit a little further back so it wouldn't be in the path of demolition.
Do you know why they decided to save it and not other houses, or was there an effort behind? Do you know anything about it?
From reading records, I think it's because Mr. Monroe was a congressman, so he kind of had higher status in the town,
yes.
And they recognized the house, and maybe it was in better condition than the others. I'm not sure in the 1960s, but they recognized it as a place that...
You find that era, 1960s, sort of a tipping point sometimes in history where either they decided to save something or they decided to make progress and move on to something else. It's kind of an interesting thing, not only here but other places across the county as well. We're talking this morning to Liz Schultz, Executive Director of Oberlin Heritage Center. What things do you have planned for the summer? What activities or events or things are happening here at the center?
Sure. So our big ongoing thing right now is our history walks on Saturday mornings. So we have a few more. This month we've been doing Civil War to Civil Rights, so talking about Oberlin's anti-slavery history, but also going past that into the early 1900s when Oberlin and many other communities throughout the United States were more in Jim Crow socialism, where the country was divided more by race. So, you know, why did that backsliding happen even here in Oberlin, and what is that structural racism look like in communities up in the north too? So that's a great tour. And starting next month, we'll do our history walk about women's history. Oberlin was the first college, coeducational college in the nation. So not only how it began to accept women, but how women were always pushing the boundaries even when they were here at Oberlin.
Wow, great. Well, again, we are at the Monroe House, so part of the Oberlin Heritage Center. Liz Schultz, our host today. We've got a lot of folks coming up. We've got Melissa Linebrink from the Oberlin School is coming up next on the other side of news, but we'll continue on this morning as we celebrate Oberlin. It's presented by Vandermark Jewelers here on WEOL.